Now for our series, On the Watch. WYPR's Mary Rose Madden has been reporting on Baltimore police reform after the death of Freddie Gray last April while he was in police custody. Last week, a judge found Officer Edward Nero not guilty of reckless endangerment in Gray's death, among other charges. Officer Edward Nero's attorney said he wasn't aware of an updated seatbelt policy when he helped put Gray in a transport van handcuffed with shackles and no seatbelt. Our latest story is on changes the department is making to the way cops on the street hear about new policies.
A day after Officer Nero's not guilty verdict came in, Baltimore Police Department announced new software they'll start using July 1st. They want to guarantee that all officers read department policies and directives and that they fully understand them. Jason Johnson is in charge of best practices at the police department.
One of the gaps that we have identified is that, you know, police officers have to really know what the agency's policies are. And right now there is an issue with officers having ready access to those policies. In the past, officers have not been actually issued those in writing, and they don't have them ready at their fingertips.
To make up for that, Johnson's creating a COPS manual. COPS stands for Core Operating Policies. Officers can flip through the manual, and they'll get alerts on their computers or smartphones. Officers are supposed to read the policy and then answer some questions that confirm they understand it. Only at that time do they get to sign off on the policy. If they miss the email alert or don't complete the test, commanders will be notified and follow through. Rank-and-file officers will be getting a lot of alerts telling them about new policies. Also starting on July 1st, they'll be hearing about 6 new directives on use of force.
We've called internally the Big Six.
One is the creation of a new performance review board.
Anytime an officer uses serious force, that board will conduct a thorough review of that force and will make recommendations. There's a policy on that. That's one of the Big Six.
Officers will also get updated procedures on general use of force, tasers, pepper spray, and impact weapons like batons or clubs. Johnson says they're also updating the department's early intervention system. It's another way for supervisors to keep track of what happens when their officers are on patrol.
That's a system that monitors a variety of data points, things like each time an officer uses force or each time an officer receives a citizen complaint of any kind, each time an officer is involved in, say, a motor vehicle accident or other key events like that. It monitors all those data points.
Supervisors will see a screenshot of their officers' data points.
So a supervisor has the ability to look and tell which officers may need some additional counseling, some additional training. You know, you may spot an employee who uses more force than their peer officers do.
These new computer tools are supposed to help commanders stay in touch with what their officers are doing on the streets. But there's a lot that happens in an officer's day-to-day interactions with citizens that isn't and can't be monitored. Police Commissioner Kevin Davis has told the rank and file he wants them out on the streets, walking foot patrol, a lot. And he's reinstated beats for some cops. He's trying to bridge the divide between cops and the community.
What I owe y'all.
That's how it's coming.
On a sunny afternoon, Tyrone Seiler, 54, is picking up candy for his grandchildren at a makeshift candy shop on the city's west side. Seiler is a plumber and steam fitter. He lives in West Baltimore. He has his entire life. He says more cops on the streets doesn't always bring that sense of community policing. He tells me about a typical encounter he had when he was walking out of the corner store after playing the lottery.
Got my money in one hand, my numbers in the other.
When a cop stopped him, he told Seiler,
"Hold on, let me search you." I said, "Hold up, what you mean let me go? Man, I'm a working man. I work every day, okay? Now, while all this going on, his partner's searching around the whole area." I said, "Man, I hope he ain't trying to find something and then say that's mine, and then you're going to be taking me downtown."
Seiler says at that point, the cop advised him to go home.
I said, "I am home in my neighborhood."
Seiler says just being black and living in the inner city isn't a crime, but the police make it feel like it is.
If they see a bunch of black males or people conversate, say more than 4, "Yo, I come back around this corner, y'all still here, y'all going to jail."
This is a common complaint in Baltimore's inner city neighborhoods. Police Commissioner Kevin Davis acknowledges that Baltimore police have, in the past, chased the numbers.
Police officers historically have been graded, have been evaluated on the
number of arrests, number of citations, number of field contacts. So productivity has historically been defined in our profession as, you know, how many guys have you arrested?
He says he wants to change that. Instead of evaluating a cop on how many people they've arrested, he says the department could look at the quality of arrests.
How do police officers fare in court? So if Kevin Davis appears to be a superstar cop and I'm, you know, making umpteen arrests every month, you know, what happens to those arrests when they get in court? Are they resulting in convictions? Or are they being null-prossed, or are the cases or the charges being dismissed?
Davis says the Baltimore Police Department has been one-dimensional, tracking the numbers of homicides and officer arrests, and that's it. But the problems that have arisen in the city need a multidimensional approach.
I want you guys to pair up. So what we're going to be doing is just communicate.
Major Mark Partee is giving his Baltimore Police Department's first foot patrol class of veteran cops a few last words before they hit the streets, walking foot with a new mindset.
Connecting with the community, moving around, and as we move around, just open up and show the people that we're human.
He wants officers to use more than just the handcuffs or the gun when they're dealing with problems. Partee wants them to patrol, but he wants them to connect with the citizens, even the guys they think are hanging out on the corners.
Everybody cool with that? All right, so go ahead and grab a partner.
Let's go communicate.
The officers walk out of the police academy and into the streets. They'll encounter tense situations where there aren't always hard and fast rules about what to do. How will they communicate then? Kevin Wheeler, 40, is an activist who supports police reform, but he's skeptical that just walking a beat is enough to overcome years of bias and what he calls a systemic lack of accountability.
Just because the officer's walking around and is talking to people doesn't mean they see them as people.
Wheeler says that's what happened to Freddie Gray.
They didn't see him as a person. They didn't hear that he was a man who was screaming out in pain because he was seriously hurt.
With the training, the new policies, the new auditing systems, will all the Baltimore cops see themselves as part of the community they've sworn to protect and serve? What motivates a 21st century police officer? Is it a supervisor? A paycheck? Is it a lawsuit? Is it something else entirely? I'm Mary Rose Madden, reporting from Baltimore for 88.1 WYPR.
Check out the series On the Watch with new videos and photographs at WYPR.org. This special series is supported by grant funding from the Bendit Family Foundation, Sig and Barbara Shapiro, the Zanville and Isabel Krieger Fund, and the Open Society Institute, Baltimore.